Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and the phone lines are open at 844-322-2742. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with issues of everyday life, well, we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your question to us by voicemail at the same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But call now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us today. Andrew, welcome.
Yes. Hey, great to be with you guys.
Well, it's always good to be with you. And certainly want to mention before we get into the content of today's program, a lot going on out there in the world today, a lot happening on the West Coast as far as raging fires are concerned, and a lot of damage. People are suffering immensely out there. You and I have a good friend, Jeremy White, who pastors a church, and he was in the heart and soul of it a couple of weeks ago. But these things just keep raging out of control, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Jeremy was hosting a lot of people in his church parking lot, taking care of a lot of the locals and giving them a place to sleep. And even to this day, the sky is overcast with the smoke and kind of a dark red cloud over everything out there.
Yeah, so, you know, we just wanted to mention that and say to all of our listeners, we have a big contingency of listeners in Northern California. We are praying with you, and are grateful that God is always at work to help, you know, and to help meet needs through the people that he's called to himself. And so we'll continue praying for that, and praying that there's a miracle of rain that happens that can douse those things here pretty quickly. But we're talking about love this week, and really looking at the definition of love. And as I said yesterday, when Paul defined it in 1 Corinthians 13, he used 15 action statements to really tell the story, to describe what love is. So it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling or anything like that. It's God's act in Christ to save us. And we see different facets of that. Well, of these 15 statements, we see 7 that are positive, and then we see 8 that are negative. And I want to read these 8 negative statements. And when we look out there in the world, we're going to see this these characteristics happening on a day-by-day basis. So love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. So those are the 8 statements, the negative statements concerning the love of God. This is anti-love, so to speak. And when we look out there in the world, Andrew, this is what we see. This is what our news headlines are filled with. All of these characteristics: envy and boasting and arrogance and rudeness and people insisting on their own way and people keeping records of wrongs and people rejoicing with evil. We see that day in and day out. What has to happen for a switch to flip, for somebody to go from the negative side of this to the positive and actually express patience and kindness and bearing all things and hoping all things and enduring all things? What makes that happen in a person's life to get them from the negative to the positive side of this love definition?
Yeah, maybe you out there listening are asking that same question lately. You've been cooped up at home for many months. Some of you've been dealing with kids who were at home instead of at school. You've spent more time with your spouse than ever before under one roof. And, you know, things can get really stressful. And so you hear a description like this, that love is not delighting in keeping any record of somebody else's wrongs, and love is not easily angered, and love is patient with other people. So, you know, how do I turn this on? What does this look like? And Bob, I would say that as long as we are looking at this as a laundry list of things that we need to quote unquote work on, then we're going to miss the point, because, you know, Paul's point here is we either possess love as a noun or we do not possess love. And that person, love is a person, and we possess him. And so I believe that when we're reading this passage, we're essentially reading Jesus' resume. We're reading a description of his character. Jesus was never boastful. He was never proud. He never was easily angered. He never kept a record of people's wrongs. He never delighted in evil. So we're reading about Jesus's character, and then you say, okay, well, how does that impact me? Well, at salvation, Jesus's character was deposited inside of you because you received Jesus. And we use this term, received Christ, became a Christian, born again. We use these terminologies, and sometimes we don't slow down enough to think about what they actually mean, because, you know, this is saying that I don't have to wake up every day and try to crank out love out of nowhere, and I don't need to be firing up prayers to heaven saying, God, where are you? Give me more love. Where are you? Give me more patience. Where are you? Give me more humility. Because that patience and that humility and that love is found in the person of Christ, and he lives in us. So where's the switch? Well, the switch is faith. We just say, I'm going to act like I'm united with Jesus because I am. I'm going to act like he lives in me because he does. I'm going to depend on him to be my love today because he is my love. So I think that it's an act of faith. It's a choice that we make. And it starts by knowing we don't have to wait or beg or plead or hope for God to send down a new package of love today. Instead, we can recognize I'm filled, I'm sealed, I'm indwelt by the person of Jesus, and he is my love.
Absolutely. And one thing just to follow up with this, Andrew, you know, we had the Mosaic Covenant. There were 10 commandments, and most of the time we would look at those and then at the end of the day would grade ourselves on how well we did. Well, this definition of love isn't a replacement of those 10 commandments. It's not a new standard that we're trying to live up to. As you said, it's simply reflecting the very character of God. God is love, so he is patient and kind and all of these sort of things. So let's not put this up as the new standard that we're trying to hit every single day, and let's not try to grade ourselves on how well we're doing in the love department. Let's simply trust the one who is love, and boy, life will look a whole lot different for each and every one of us.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us, friends. We would really love to hear from you because the lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. And if you're hearing Basic Gospel at roughly 9 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and you can come right into the studio and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. Friends, here at Basic Gospel, Bob Christopher continues to produce excellent resources to help you, our listeners, enter into and literally thrive in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And to say thank you for standing with us in support of Basic Gospel in September, we want to send you a copy of the brand new resource that Bob has prepared. It's called Trail of Assurance. In Trail of Assurance, Bob wrote, from start to finish, the Bible tells you that you are loved by God, and we want you to have bedrock assurance of this truth as you walk every day through life. So request your copy when you make your September gift to support Basic Gospel, and again, you can click donate at basicgospel.net and begin your trek along the Trail of Assurance. Once again, donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Guys, a question from Steve. He wants to know about water and spirit from John 3:5.
Yeah, well, when you look at John chapter 3, you see this statement being made in the fifth verse. It says, Jesus answered, I truly tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now, a lot of folks have tried to say, see, that's evidence that you have to be water baptized in order to be saved. Well, that idea is very quickly dismissed, guys, when we look at the very next verse. I mean, Jesus explains what he meant. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. So let's make sure we've got this straight. There's two kinds of being born here. The first one is flesh gives birth to flesh, and apparently that includes water. Well, think about how that includes water. I mean, for 9 months, a baby is essentially in a sack of water in mom's womb. And then they are born, 9 months later, they are born of the flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Now, let's fast forward 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, somewhere. They're sitting in a church service or chatting with a friend or reading a book, and they come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. They call upon his name to be saved. Now they've had the second birth. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So this has nothing to do with being dunked in water, as awesome as that is to celebrate through water baptism, to have a community surrounding you, cheering you on, saying, awesome, Andrew is now in Christ and celebrating that like a party. He's had this festivity with us celebrating Jesus, and that's amazing. But there's nothing magical about that swimming pool or that lake or that baptismal in a church service that makes you right with God. When we go to John 3, he's talking about that first birth, which is a physical birth born of water from mom, and then a spiritual birth later when we come to know the gospel and are then born of God's Spirit, which by the way, Bob, I mean, that is just an incredibly powerful truth, that the Spirit of God gives birth to us, that we are born of the Spirit, that we have a new heart, a new spirit, God's Spirit living in us. I mean, if we have ever had a poor self-image, what thought can we come back to? Well, if the God of the universe, through his Holy Spirit, if his Spirit gave birth to me, then what kind of person am I? If his Spirit gave birth to me, then what do I look like on the inside? And that is a recipe for a healthy self-image for sure.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I've said often of late that if the definition of a Christian is this, somebody in whom Christ dwells, you can't be a Christian without the Spirit of God living in you. Yeah. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. So if Christ lives in you, well, he's not going to live in a dirty vessel. He's not going to live in an unforgiven vessel. He's not going to live in an unrighteous vessel. He's not going to live in a dead vessel. So the fact that he's alive living in you tells you that you have been cleansed of all unrighteousness, that it's happened, and you are clean. You are perpetually clean. It also means that you are forgiven. All your sins have been forgiven, taken away, removed once and for all, never to be seen again, never to be remembered again. It also means that you have been made righteous. And God, the one who knew no sin, became sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It means we've been made holy. God isn't going to live in an unholy vessel. So what did he do? He made us holy. And he's not going to live in a dead vessel. So what does he do? He makes us alive. So the fact that Christ lives in you means all of those things. You are clean, forgiven, holy, righteous, fully alive, and Christ is fully alive in you. If that doesn't make you want to shout hallelujah, I don't know what will. But that's just solid truth. And as you said, Andrew, that's a healthy, biblical, God-given self-image, and it's unmovable. It's unshakable. It is as solid as it gets.
Steve, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Right now, plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our old friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Brad.
Boy, I hit the treasure trove today. I got my two Bobs and I got my Andrew. And I don't really have many questions these days. Thank God for you and for Pastor Farley. Just don't have many questions, but I'll tell you what, you guys have made me a monster because I am just totally psyched, totally pumped, totally stoked, whatever you want to call it, on the gospel. And I'm totally the same way with God's love. Now, I can honestly say I haven't experienced loving the entire world. But I'll tell you what, with the people I know, love is supreme, okay? Growing in it every day. But I thank you three gentlemen and your ministries for helping me become very, very proficient and understanding what God's love truly is. Mm-hmm. And I am so very grateful. And I would like to stay on for a minute and listen to your comments.
We'll certainly let you do that, Brad. Yeah. And it's always good to hear from you and to get that shot of encouragement that you always bring to the airwaves for us. So thank you so much. And, you know, Andrew, we just get the opportunity to kind of walk with people, to journey with people, and to sit back and watch the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does in a person's life, and to bring somebody to a point where they're convinced, I mean, absolutely convinced, that nothing can separate them from the love of God. They're experiencing that love, not just from an intellectual standpoint, but a heartfelt experience of the love of God. You say, gosh, that's exactly what God kind of put us here to do, to help people, you know, walk down that path. So, Andrew, man, you're lighting it up with the Word of God, and that Word is touching so many people's hearts, and we're glad that we can journey along with you in that as well.
Well, you know, Brad has been following all that we're doing for, you know, a long time now, a number of years, and I remember when Brad would email frequently with questions, concerns, scriptures that stuck out to him that he wanted clarity on. And we still get questions sometimes, but we get a whole load of encouragement on a pretty regular basis. And I think that the listeners today can really sense the excitement and the confidence in Brad's voice. And to me, you know, that's a testimony to anyone that sticks with it. Go ahead, dig a little deeper, investigate the claims of God's grace through His Word. When a scripture is unclear to you, pray to the Spirit, ask Him for clarity, take time, and really, you know, Jesus' promise is that the truth will set you free. And so if you don't experience that freedom as a Christian yet, you need to dig a little deeper, just like Brad did, asking the right questions, saying, how forgiven am I? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if I don't do this? Well, what if I do this? How forgiven am I? How free in God's grace am I? Are you telling me there's no standard I have to hit to keep Him liking me? No walking on eggshells, that I'm totally accepted? Well, then how new am I? I mean, you're saying I'm a new creation. God's Word says that. So How new am I at the core? Because I keep hearing mixed messages. I hear that I've got a wicked heart. I hear that I got to test my heart, examine my heart, that I've got a dirty heart, and so on and so forth. I keep hearing mixed messages. So I'm going to probe a little deeper. I'm going to dig into God's Word. I believe there are solid answers. Well, that's what Brad did. And today we heard just a bit of his testimony, the confidence and the excitement that he finds when the truth sets a person free.
Brad, I think it's unanimous. Everybody's glad that you called.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brad, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. Andrew, we had this question that came in via email to us, and it's about salvation. And he says this, it's from Dwight, "I know you can't lose your salvation, and nobody can pluck you out of God's hand, but can a person who once believed according to Romans 10:9-10, then truly denounce their salvation, not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and not believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead? If that was possible, where would they stand with God?"
Yeah. Well, it's not possible. We can't wake up someday and go back into a spiritual womb and be unborn. We can't go back to being the old self who was already crucified and buried. We can't go back to being an unbeliever because Jesus already figured all this out for us. I mean, remember what the old covenant problem was. Bob, in the old covenant, the problem was they didn't remain faithful. And so I turned away from them, says the Lord. So Hebrews tells us that's the old covenant problem. Now, if we could still turn away, if we could still be unfaithful and then have God abandon us because of our actions, then the old covenant problem is still a new covenant problem. But of course, we know, as the scripture tells us in Hebrews, that we have a better covenant founded on better promises. And it all comes down really to a promise that God made to himself. That's what the new covenant is, because God could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. And we have this hope as our anchor for the soul, Hebrews says. So what's your anchor? Is your anchor your consistency? Is your anchor your dedication and your commitment? No, it says our anchor is a promise that God made to God. So finally, I'd just like to add that, you know, the very last verse in the book of Ephesians, it says an incredible thing. It says that we as saints, that we as children of God, that we love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is undying, with a love that is imperishable. So the enemy may try to get you to worry about tomorrow. What if I don't love him tomorrow? What if I don't love him next week or next month? What if I don't stay in my end of the bargain, keeping up my side? Well, remember, it's God's job to keep up both sides of that agreement, because he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. He is our anchor, God and God. It's really not about us. It's all about his consistency, his commitment, his dedication, and his promise to you and me.
Yeah, that is good news. So when he saves us completely. We don't have to worry one bit about that. That is the good news of the gospel, and I guess that's why they call it good news, right, guys?
Yeah. It very truly is. And friends, I want to remind you that reading Basic Gospel's daily devotional, Hear It, Believe It, Live It, it's a great way to start each day with the assurance that in Jesus Christ, you are a beloved child of God. You can click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of our website, and you can get it started like tomorrow morning, and it'll arrive in your inbox, and it'll help you get the day started on a wonderful way. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support to keep the good news coming. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you make your September donation, remember to request your copy of our new resource, Trail of Assurance, and be reminded that you are a dearly loved child of God. Also, we invite you to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live, Sunday mornings 9:30 Central on both Facebook and YouTube. You'll find the easiest way to log in to either platform is by clicking one or the other of the links at the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net. Just choose your favorite platform, Facebook or YouTube. That's Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live with Bob Christopher. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our thanks to Andrew for being with us as always on this edition of Basic Gospel, we invite you to be with us again tomorrow for yet another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.